Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, how's it going, Los Angeles, on this gloomy pre-Halloween Sunday? I mean, it's like about to rain. I heard maybe we're going to get about 80-degree winds. I don't know where that came from, but I hope not. I'm here with two amazing guests. I cannot believe I have them in the room. First of all, Michael Angelo Soulsberry from the 90s group Portrait. And if anybody knows, I'm a latchkey kid. I followed that because you go home and you,
I got to tell you about that later on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. And I have, I'm fanning out. And I have Priscilla, a.k.a. Fun Mama.
Fun Mama.
Yeah, yeah. Priscilla Padilla. How you doing, lover?
I'm doing good, good.
Thank you for showing up.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
So welcome to The Startup. And somehow we're going to merge 90s hip-hop and music composure with investments and funds. I think that there's an avenue for that. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
It's a very important avenue because it's music business. You can do the music right and you may do the business wrong in that.
That's
why we need to be educated on that.
Right.
Yeah,
because
you can have the coins coming in, but they can go out as quickly.
Oh, yeah. You see a lot of artists, you know, and basketball players, you see that they just don't know how to manage. Right, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do just with lack of education, that's all.
So tell us a little bit about Fund Mama and how you got that name and where you started.
Well, basically, I've been here and there just working all kinds of different things, you know, since I was really, really young. But what really, really did it for me was that during the recession, my husband and I were hit really, really hard. And I learned a lot, you know, and I said, you know, I really want to learn how to do this. I thank goodness and I'm so blessed that, you know, that I got with just a good group of people. And they educated me more. They sent me, you know, to schooling. And And, you know, it's a great company. And so basically got my license and all my licenses. And then I just went from there. And the thing was that, you know, I was going out into the community and trying to talk to people, knocking on doors, doing this, doing that. And girl, it just wasn't working. Like, I was like, you know what? I was like, you know, because people don't trust, especially in LA. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everything's like, you're crazy. Oh, and I'm like,
well, we are crazy. Right? That's what makes it fun.
Right? So I was like, you know, like, hey, you know, hey, can I get like 15, 20, 30 minutes of your time, you know? And like, people were just either they wanted to hook up with me. And I'm like, dude, I'm married, you know? I'm like, married, you know? And I'm like, no, I just want to like talk to you. And so, you know, tell you like how this works.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, I said, there has to be a better way. And in all honesty, like, I really didn't want to do the social media thing. Because I was just more like, I'm so old school that I was just like, you know, well, I want to talk to you one-on-one. But then, you know, due to a health scare, I was actually forced to do social media.
Okay.
So I said, you know what? F it. I'm going to go for it. And I started doing it. And then next thing you know, I think on the third video, it got 14,900 views.
Well, you're touching on things. I mean, that's huge, right?
I couldn't believe it.
And look at you. I don't want to do social media.
I was like, I don't want to do it. I was like, let me go knock on another door.
Well, you know, it's a different thing. I mean, the penny saver days are over, although I love a good penny saver.
Yeah, and you realize you got to go with the flow. Yeah. You got to grow somehow. Yeah.
The dogs will change their porch if you don't get up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And it's been working, you know, thank goodness. And, you know, and now more people are starting to know. And the reality of the situation is, like, you know what? You just got to grow with the times and see what works for you and what doesn't. And just go out there and do it.
Well, I like that. So, Michael, how does that intertwine for your world? Because you come from music and, you know, travel and composing.
The money is really, really good when you do your craft good and you're successful, especially in the music business. I mean, we can make a lot of money. Sometimes people think athletes make more money because they see that big, big bulk. But see, ours go the rest of our life.
The residuals? Is that what you're talking about? For us that don't know the world.
I still get paid. Yeah, I have stuff that I wrote 20 years ago and I still get paid and it will keep going. So
that's great.
That's awesome.
But what happens is uneducated. I feel like, and my family is very educated, but everything happened fast for me. So, you know, Quincy Jones, I was signed to him since I was 20. And,
didn't you have a vision that you would get to know him by 16?
I've always done music to where like I was the one at a young age at 6, 7. I knew I wanted to do music. And by the time I was 15, I knew that I wanted to be a music producer because I separated. Yeah. I didn't just want to be an artist. I'm going to do something with Quincy Jones one day.
Wow.
One of these days. Yeah.
He just felt it.
Wow.
I just felt it. Yeah. And then, but the part that will get most people who get into this business is that all the accolades and the fancy cars and the houses and trying to keep up with the Joneses, it'll get you. And you feel like you, you want to be a part of that persona because, you know, the entertainment industry is persona. It's not who your real character is. It's what people perceive. So you get caught up in that. And for me, I wanted fancy cars. I bought fancy cars.
What was your first fancy car purchase when you were when Portrait first came out?
Now think about it. I'm from South Central LA, from Florence and Western, Dalton Avenue. I think it was a BMW, but in a Range Rover and just
pushing a Range.
But guess what? I wasn't paying my taxes properly all those years too.
Oh,
wow. I thought I had this dumb. Listen to this, everybody, please.
Yes.
My thought was, I wrote it. Not Uncle Sam. This is my shit.
Okay.
I wrote it. I own it. I hate that I got to split it with you because this is what I wrote. This is not me going to a factory job and I'm doing this. This is something that I wrote from
my
heart.
Came from your heart, yeah.
You didn't have nothing to do with it, Unc. I'd rather give it to the church any day, but you. And then I was just getting my money, and then about 10, 15 years later.
Uh-oh. What happened? You go to the ATM and it was frozen? That's like a horror story. I've heard that.
No, I was out on a date. And my credit card didn't work.
No, you better get.
And it was like lunchtime, a 2 o'clock type of date.
Mm-hmm.
I was first embarrassed.
Sure,
we ordered a lot of food.
Mm. Sure,
it didn't work. Run it again. First thing you do, get no. What do you? I know I got money on there. Ran it again.
Were you in L.A. or
in Santa Clarita?
Oh, okay,
and then I went to the bank after. Lucky she had money to pay. By the way, guys, get an independent woman. Because if that woman wasn't independent, she wouldn't have been able to pay for it. But anyway,
you've been washing dishes that day.
I went to the bank directly after, and I said, walked in the branch manager. I said, "But my car didn't work." And she brought me to the side. She's like, "The IRS froze you."
But you usually get a lien letter.
Said, you got 29 days.
Oh, we're gonna kick you out
to get it out. I had to go back 10 years, and I had 29 days to get back. That was just too much. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot. But do you put you on a payment plan? But don't you get a letter like, "Hey, we're gonna mess up your stuff"?
I was doing all that. Yeah, because you can call right now. People get afraid a lot of times, but you can call them and make a payment plan and just stay on it.
Communicate. That's a big word in business. Just call and work it out.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I'm pretty sure that they sent you a letter.
They sent me all the letters stacked up. They were coming and I was responding, but I got pissed off. The whole thing was in our music, and my dad, being in a 50s group, they sing a song called Earth Angel, a very popular song.
Ooh, okay, I didn't know that.
They didn't get that. They weren't getting their royalties, and now you got your son generation. I'm like, nobody's getting mine. So I was getting the letters, but I was like, I'm not paying you.
You were just upset.
You were just listening to your dad's experience, and you're trying to stick it to the man.
He was on a vendetta. He's like,
not today, Satan. We don't have a 401k. Our royalties are 401k.
Got it.
And so I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm not giving Uncle Sam and it pays. So, pay your taxes, everybody."
And it's okay.
That's a great story.
401k, I think, is also just a big setup. You know what I'm saying?
Preach on it.
Because 401ks is like, you really think about it. It's like, okay, these people, especially, all my city workers, I love you and all, but it's like they think that it's like the most amazing thing, and it's like, well, there's other things. There's like a Roth IRA. Guess what?
Let's speak on that. Tell us the difference. Give us a top few that we can, like, options.
Like, for instance, like you get residuals, right?
Yes.
So then, obviously you can put that money into different funds so that they can grow, right?
Yes.
But when you have a 401k, which everybody's pretty much on, and if they're not, like, if they're city workers, they're like on a 457 plan, what's called 457 plan or 401k. The problem with that is, like, guess what? You're dishing out money, every 2 weeks you're putting money into that plan, right? But then all of a sudden, you're retiring at the age of 67. Well, guess what? You need to pay taxes on that. So, what I'm saying?
What?
So now these people are making, like, let's say some of them are retiring with $200,000, but if you were making $80,000 a year as a city worker, how long is that really going to retire you for?
And people are working longer.
I didn't know that you pay taxes on that money that you...
your 401k? You have to, but if you put that money into a Roth IRA, right? If you put it into a Roth IRA,
so you've got to learn something
here. Tax-free. So basically, you still, no, regardless what happens, Uncle Sam still wants his money. So you're going to be paying little by little, but along the way, so you don't feel it. So guess what? Now you're retiring at the age of 67 with $200,000, but tax-free.
That's a whole different ballgame.
That's a great way to put it.
Exactly, but people don't know. They don't know, and they're so used to it because it's what society has basically like made them so used to, and that's just what they're used to. The problem also is that they choose to not hear other people's way of doing things because they're so set in their way.
It's a generational thing.
I'm going to tell you this. Also, the trust. The entertainment business is just not non-trusting. It's always going to be that way. Mm-hmm. And so you got other people telling you, hey, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. I've learned. Quincy Jones used to tell me so much stuff. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you a secret.
We're going to get some tea today on the startup.
Quincy Jones told me, Michael, when you get a check from a record company, at that time, I think my production, I was getting about 35,000 a song, whatever.
Wow.
Write him a check back. I said, why? You can be $1,000. He said, every time you do a production, write him a check back just to show him you don't need the money. And they're going to always, the finance company will always look at you and good. You don't have to do that. Most people will never do that.
That's interesting.
Right. That's crazy.
Write them a check back. And he said, what happens is they don't look at you as somebody just grabbing money. Because in the 90s, during that whole, money was different in the music business.
Tell our viewers real quick and listeners exactly who you are and what song put you on the map. Just so
I'm still currently, we do two shows, but a 90s group called Portrait, and our first song was Here We Go Again.
That
was
Here We Go. Can you sing it for us? Because I can't.
Why you want to do it? Like, did Quincy Jones sing?
Oh.
Even though you know he can't.
I don't remember that.
Here We Go Again.
If you heard it, you will remember it.
Yeah, we'll play it.
I'm going to go on Google.
Yes. So go ahead.
Google knows everything.
Yes.
But the thing about it is, my whole point with the Quincy thing is that you got to listen to your elders. There were probably people telling us this is what you should do. You should be smart.
Right.
But we don't listen because we don't trust him and we don't know him.
Exactly.
That account that you just met, I wish I would have known about that.
Yeah. And there's a lot.
Roth IRA.
Of things. A Roth IRA. Yeah.
So what else? IRA. What else is out there for freelancers and people who get larger checks and, you know, want to put it somewhere instead of getting, you know, popping bottles, even though I endorse wine. I endorse wine, but, you know, don't pop too many.
No, well, like for him, for instance, that's so different. You know what I'm saying? And it's really about where are they going? What is their plan? Like your plan, both of you are, you know, artists, right? Both of you, but you have a different plan than he does, even though you're in the same field, right? So for him, like I would need to know what are your goals.
Yeah.
I can't really tell him like right now, like I would put right now, just from what I've heard, I would start up like an individual account. He's probably at an age right now where he needs an IRA. He needs a retirement account. He needs that money to keep growing. And not only that, what percentage are you growing at?
That's what I want to know, because I remember a math equation in school. It was like invest $125 every month at a certain percentage and you will be a millionaire within 20 or 30 years. Something
And you
to that effect.
And you can't even say it's a certain percentage because the stock market goes up and down. But the history of the stock market since the opening of stock market, it's averaged out at 12%. So let's say
there's an average, okay.
Yeah, that's the average, right? But people they get so scared. It's the only industry when there's a sale, right? When you buy a piece of clothing and you buy two for one, do you think that's a deal?
It's presented as a deal.
Right, two for one, though. If you bought, let's say, two Pradas, whatever.
Yeah. Right? You got one for free, right?
Okay, so the stock market kind of works that way, but it's the only field where people don't like sales. And the thing is that that's how come when the stock market, when the recession hit and everybody lost their homes, unfortunately. Mm. But guess what? Investors from all over the place, it was game day.
Yeah.
Because they came in and they bought everything because everything was on sale.
Yeah.
So that's how stocks work.
But see, when you present it that way, it's approachable. So you're making it. She's going to be your fund mama.
Fund mama. There you go.
You know what I think, too? It's also a way of teaching. We all know from being kids, teens to adults, we remember certain teachers that taught a certain way that we got the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So finances for people, if it's not taught a certain way, they might get it's a lot of numbers and everybody can't, you know what I mean? So if it was a fun way, not fun, but...
Fun.
But it's a play on words.
Look at how she's explaining.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
it's approachable.
Really? That's it?
That's why I have her on my show, damn it.
Yeah.
Thanks. And that's what I want. I want people to understand because, you know, some people make it all complicated and it's like, dude, no, it's a much easier. And when you explain it in a way that they can understand, it's like you said, it's more approachable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I want
to
do.
And see what hit. But now let's go to this. Let's skip to now the MP3.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as a producer, let's just say every time I sold a record, I could produce 8 different artists. And each one of them are selling 1 million copies. Let's say each copy I'm getting 20 cents.
Okay.
That's a lot of money. That's how we used to get paid.
Okay.
Now when the downloads came in, hey, Mike, what's up? What you did for Busta Rhymes? It's so cool. I downloaded it the other day. And I'm like, yeah, but you know you owe me. Hi. They don't know that they. So that right. Downloads came and cleared probably 70% of our income.
Yeah. Dang, I remember that shift. And it all started with.
And so if you didn't save. Now they make money from going on tour. Mm-hmm. The little young generation is cool with y'all music and everything. I like it. But mm-hmm. y'all don't live like royalties. Those days are over with. Like, we're the last coming in living off of royalties.
Yeah. Napster changed all that. Yeah. It was Sean Fanning.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I remember my friend was working on a project with him when I was at MTV, and I met Sean, and he changed the whole game. Mm. For better and for worse, right? I mean,
right.
You're putting emphasis on shows and building out more content, which mm-hmm. keeps you in relevant, right? And you're also composing. So how does someone step up with those skills and say, all right, you know, I've got, let's just say someone works and they've got, you know, $200 to invest every month. How, like if Michael came to you and wanted to do that, what's the best place to put that in this economy today?
Well, if you have $200, like for, and that's just like this, we're talking about an artist, right? Mm-hmm. But for an average family, like say $200 mm-hmm. a month, you could split that money up in so many ways.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't like you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, right? Because, mm-hmm. I always do the mall factor, right? And that's not if you saw that on my Instagram, but the mall factor, right? You have different stores and a mutual fund is like one huge fund with a lot of stores in it. That's like the mall, right? But if you close down 2 or 3 stores, you know.
The mall's still open.
The mall's still open. Yeah, it doesn't close down, right? So I would put those $200 and invest them into different stores.
So maybe $25 in a couple different stores, in a few different stores.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And what you want to do, one in money market funds, you know, you want to make sure you have liquid money all the time, but then you also want retirement. So then that way, you know, that's money you don't touch. So, you know, $75 of that, you're going to split it up, you know, maybe into one into money markets, one into an individual account, one into a Roth IRA, you know, the other 25, we're going to put it somewhere different. So I'm not going to put those $200 into just one account because I need to take care of you.
Right.
So I need to make sure that, you know, that all those funds are growing at the same time. And depending on where you want to be, in 17 years, you're going to retire. So I need to make sure that in 17 years, your Roth IRA is building a certain amount of money and that you can touch that money at 59 and a half if you want to retire early.
Right.
You know, if you got into a situation, you know, all my people right now, you know, today we're talking about the 4 business cycles, right? Right now we're at peak, you know, so it's going to be coming. It's going to be coming. We're going to be going down, you know, downhill in a little bit. So, you know, what money can you touch that's liquid when you're going to need it? So
because Tony Robbins says that the market regulates itself every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. It's 4 different cycles. We hit them every single time.
Can you expand on that?
What do you mean?
Four different seasons?
No. Yeah, it's like 4 different cycles. So it's expansion, peak, contraction, and trough. You know, when we were in a recession, we were trough. Trough means tough. So when you go through tough times in a trough, right? So right now, everybody's happy. They're buying their cars. I see the Dodge Rams still coming out. You know, everybody was selling. 2008, everybody was selling their Dodge Rams, right? Now you see everybody buying their Dodge Rams again, right? And I'm like, don't get too happy because that's what happens. All of a sudden, you know, we're at peak. Guess what? We're going to be contracting pretty soon.
And it's the holidays coming up.
Exactly. So, and you don't know when it's going to hit. I'm not here to predict or anything like that, but you know it's going to come.
You know it's coming.
Yeah, you know it's coming. So you got to prepare. So that's how come I'm saying, like, if he had $200, I'd be putting them into different funds. So even during a recession, his money's still growing, you know, and you're out there when the recession hits is when we're buying more shares.
Yeah.
So that way when the...
Because they're cheaper because nobody else is doing it.
And when people don't have the money, you have the money and then you can...
You can buy stuff.
Right. And you buy out more shares. So then when peak hits again, guess what? Now you have a lot of shares. Guess what? Now it's time to sell them. So now you're making more money.
You're like the hot Latina Susie Orman. I fucking love it. I love Susie. She signed my book when I went to one of her.
I love Susie. Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey. Yeah, she is.
You're like, you go, girl.
Oh, thanks. I try.
Yeah.
No, I mean, being smart, being a go-getter, and being beautiful. It's just what they call a trifecta.
Yeah.
Good job, hubby. Good job, hubby.
Yeah. Do you have similar love for the mathematics?
No, my husband hates reading.
Okay, good. Reading is fundamental.
Yeah, my husband don't like school, but my husband's creative.
No, super creative. Like, my mom went to ninth grade, I think. She's read like 300 books or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah,
but and her information is right
straight
there.
On. That's yeah, how my yeah. husband is. Uh-huh. My husband yeah. don't like, he don't wow. like school at night, and he'll tell you straight out, no, don't do the reading thing. One time, it's so funny. I know he doesn't want me to say this, but.
Spill it.
One time, this was when we were super young, okay? So Samara, like, just like. Close your ears or something. Uh-oh. I bought him, I was like, dude, I gotta get this guy reading something, right? So I bought him this Playboy subscription.
Hey, I like the articles.
Right? Because I was like, dude, cool. there's articles in there. He can read it. Maybe really he'll, good. He did not read that. He did what? Not want to read it. Yeah, they were just like stacked
but
up.
But that's
there.
A setup though.
That was from a guy.
He was probably thinking, she's thinking I'm very interested in
right. He yeah. just completely right. pushed it away.
It was so bad. And I
Hubby,
was like, dude.
You're a smart man to put it away, brother.
He did I not take the bait.
Yeah. But then we became Christian, and you know, that all went out. Oh, that God. All went out the door.
Okay. Well, hey, the Lord made you new. So, yeah. I mean, we don't have made to get it new, out. Go right? down. We don't have to go down that road. But good for you. So now, yeah. Michael, tell me about, because we were just talking about this in the lobby about Acorns. Weren't you going to download that today?
Yeah, I've been seeing it, and you told me about it. I'm like, what is this thing that makes you, again, what we just talked about?
Yeah.
I was saying, I don't know about it, because we have this trust thing, which is one of the big problems of the world, because we don't trust like I think we should, but I'm an empath, so I think different. But
oh, okay.
Hearing about the Acorn, I'm like, well, what does this do? You know, I've seen a couple of commercials.
Yeah.
And
I think you round it to the nearest dollar. So if I bought a coffee for $1.50, it rounds it to $2 and it takes that 50 cents and puts it in a mutual fund for me or a fund that I've chosen. And then I like to round up anyway. You know, if you have a check for $117.69, I just round it up to $120.
Right.
So always. Is it a matter of, we can do that humanly. Is it easier that something else or some kind of app does it?
Yep, because it takes it away.
Is that the problem that we have? Is because we're capable of doing it,
right?
But an app has to come out, or
because we're too busy. We're too busy. We're inundated, right? I mean,
right. But then you take out the human. But then again, you take them out. You take away the human factor of it. You know what I mean? Like, okay, like I care about people. Right. So you know what I'm saying? I care about whether your kid goes to college. Mm. I care about whether you know you're going to retire with dignity, so you don't have to be pushing carts at Walmart at the age of 72.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you riding take away the
beach cruiser
human.
At 50.
Ouch.
Exactly. We all know that riding the beach
ouch.
Cruiser at 50.
Right.
Well, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Well. And so like it's things like that I care about as a human being because you have a soul. You have so that's where the human factor. When you take that out, I think that's just kind of a setup for like.
Well, you got to have the human.
Loss.
We have to have the human factor.
Exactly.
But I think the apps can assist us
exactly.
with you.
Exactly. Because
The app's not going to sit here and tell me what you just told us about the 200,000.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah, that's
right.
It. Yeah.
Right.
So
some experience.
Well, right. yeah. So they'll tell us a little bit more about this, like with the music, because I'm so intrigued. So now that you said it took 70%.
First of all, with doing what I do, I'm a producer and I've been an artist in the group. This is a thing. You create the music, you record it, and you tour it. That's mm-hmm. the three steps.
Mm-hmm.
Create it, record it, and tour. That's the career of entertainers. And it's a real, real tough one because there's a lot of laws that we feel like we generated a lot of money for the music business, but we don't have anything like health care.
Oh.
We've generated record companies millions and millions, but we don't get no free health care.
Did you guys not know to negotiate into your writer or retainer or whatnot?
Because
you were young. You were like 19 or something.
We had a great, we had a good lawyer. He was pretty tight. Our paperwork was pretty tight, but we were signed through a production company, and that was that's a long story itself. The music, it's a tough one because you have the choice to be either commercial, like everybody else, or you have this deep thing about I want to do what I want to do. Most of the people who do what they want to do is very, very, very rare that they become super, super, superstars. Not like the Michael Jacksons and the Princes.
Right.
But if you follow, you seem to make that trend. You seem to make more money. And that's the hardest part about doing what I do as a music producer, because sometimes I want to do things
your way,
my way. And then some, I got to do this little stupid music.
Was well, that why you see an artist do one really popular record a couple times and then they go way right or way left with something abstract?
Because those are the artistic ones, which you really appreciate at the end. Those are the ones who become more popular. I hate to say it, a lot of times after they pass away, then you really appreciate their work. Like, wow, they were incredible.
Yeah.
But the ones who follow and do everything else, they tend to make the most money because everything is trendy. So you have to decide at that point. And I always knew I wanted to be a producer. I didn't really want to be an artist. Portrait just happened because we were a production team and we were writing some great demos for people. And they just decided you guys should be a group.
Yeah,
and it's cool. It's
Awesome. I loved them.
I feel so bad because I don't remember.
But guess what I'm saying? We were tier two. You got Boys and Men. You're gonna remember them and Jodeci and all that. But we were almost considered like tier two.
But, You came out the same time, right?
Yeah, but we built a great career overseas as well as over here. I mean, when we still do our shows, people come see us. So, I mean,
where are you most popular?
Between here in the UK and but a lot of different countries, Japan.
Dang, I feel left out.
You're so funny.
That's the jam. All my 90s, you know, Latchkey kids, fellow Latchkeys.
Latchkey, I gotta tell you about that word.
Right? Do you remember this?
Well, it takes a while for the chorus to come.
Here it is.
Oh, yeah, now I remember.
All right, Michael, come on the ones and twos.
Here we go again.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? We were having so much fun.
Here's your part. Ready? Real good time. That's Michael's jam right there.
You're so funny.
So you get a lot of love around the world, which is fun, right? I mean,
that's
you're
awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty. We just came from London about 3 weeks ago, almost a month ago, and it's like we hadn't been over there in a while. It's like, and what's amazing is you see women like 45 to maybe 50.
I wouldn't know
to
about
20,
that.
To 20 because their daughters they played their daughters the 90s. So some of the girls in their 20s, their mothers. They're 90s babies, so you're like, whoa, you can't, how do you know about it? Oh, my mom is mom.
People come out the womb knowing Michael, so that's a whole nother spiritual situation.
That's deep.
But you're right, because we're playing Jodeci, Portrait, you're doing all of it.
But the business is more important. Like, this is a perfect scenario what we're talking about, because it is called a music business, and you have to do the business right. You can be very talented and very skilled and make the money, but what's going to happen in the downtime?
Exactly.
What would you give your prodigies, paying it forward, advice? Like, what would you say, do this if you're just getting started?
I would say make sure that you know everything about ownership, how much you can own. When you're writing and you're producing, a lot of times when you get in the game, there's somebody else that you're attached to that's getting money that they're not supposed to be getting. So I would always tell artists and producers to make sure you know every single society who collects royalties for you and digital royalties. Not the old way, like ASCAP and BMI are almost like old way of getting paid. There's digital royalties now.
Like SoundTune?
Sound Exchange.
What is it?
Sound Exchange. So I would say all the artists, producers, make sure that every royalty stream you're a part of and you're signed up, make sure you get all of it, because why do all that music and it's not getting tracked? Always be a part of a business. When you negotiating, you might see it sounds so cool. Yeah, my lawyer, my manager, and my agent. That shit sounds cool, but you got to be a part of the meeting. I want to know what I'm getting, how much this costs. Even when it comes down to your accountant and your business managers, be a part of it. You got to ask questions. You know, at one point, people who asked questions were like the headaches. Like, why is this supposed to be too much? No, this is, I want to ask
questions. I heard Madonna does that. Like, after every concert, she sits with the meeting and they crunch the numbers and she knows what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a smart
trick. You can't stay a diva if you're on top of your game if you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, if you don't know where everything's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really important.
And I got this. It was so funny. I was producing. It was a song called "You Gets No Love" for Faith Evans. Right. It was one of my productions.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Did a million for me.
Yeah.
Yay. I remember after we finished the tune, she pulled out these pieces of paper. I was like, "What is this? Can you believe I just went blank?
No, that's okay, because it's a lot of information that you're remembering.
And it's a lot of info.
And it started young. I mean, yeah.
And hold on, this is because it's so important.
Yes. You Gets No Love. Do you remember that song? You Gets No Love
Look
from
it up
me.
Again.
I know, because my singing sucks, you guys. Like, don't. But she pulled out some paperwork. Right. And
poor Monique.
Oh, and so what we call them. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why I went blank.
That's
but,
okay.
When you're in a room with writing, different people writing, people have amnesia when it's credits. Who wrote this? Who did this?
Right, because you're all collaborating at the same time.
No, right then and there, everybody's signing exactly their name.
Smart.
Split sheets. We call them split sheets.
Okay.
As soon as we finish the session, you know you wrote this. You know you wrote this 25%. People don't do that.
That's smart. Faith did that?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Big ups to her.
She's always doing that.
Love Faith Evans.
Yeah, me too. I love her.
Yeah, that was... So that was...
That's a really good song. I think I was roller skating to that at Skate Junction in West Covina.
It's one of her... It really makes me feel proud that I'm part of her legacy. Because, you know, she has these big tunes. It makes you... See, as a producer, you want to be a part of big projects. So to me, that was one of mine.
Yeah.
Artists that I had something on, it went big. So I feel good about that.
Nice. Well, what's the future for you with everything? What do you got going?
So, I mean, Portrait, we're touring different countries and different places.
Give us your next few places and dates.
They're going to be in Europe for sure.
Okay.
Nice.
That's fun.
Wow.
I'm doing my own documentaries and filming. As a producer, when you're creative, you're creative. So it's like the same eye that I have for music would be the same eye for film.
Can you speak about your documentary?
That's what I'm going to start off first. Beside doing like films, I'm going to start doing documentaries first. So I'm working on that. Then I have a podcast thing that I'm doing. It's called Let's Talk.
You do. That's how I met you, actually, because I was up in the DMs trying to find guests, or I think you reached out because you had a podcast.
Yeah. And it was just, and it's so fun because that I can talk about some of the things that, I didn't express musically. And let's talk. We just talk about human things, that we do. You know, my last thing was, you know, when people sneeze, how many times do you have to bless you? Yeah. I mean, recently I
have allergies. So yeah,
that's
so
random.
So do we feel bad? Like, is it like, okay,
it's random.
Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. How many times do you?
And then as the person that's sneezing, you're like, damn. You know,
I think a good one, good old blessing is good.
Yeah. And so on the show, I ask questions like that.
Okay.
That
how does that tie in with the sports and the music?
Now, the sports thing is, that's a co-host. It's a show called NBA Heads Corner. I'm the co-host. I'm the producer of it,
right.
But I'm the co-host.
Okay.
We talk about sports and social issues. So.
Oh, good. That ties in.
Yeah, and
talking about taking a knee and all that stuff.
And then music, doing music for film and TV.
Good.
I'm always submitting. So everything creatively, I'm definitely involved. Mm-hmm. You don't see it as much now. It's different. Like, I wish we had social media in the 90s because you would have seen more and more.
That would have been
We had some characters in the 90s, believe me.
Yeah.
We
did still have MySpace.
Oh, my God.
I tried to find my MySpace account the other day. I don't know where the hell it went. I want those photos back, MySpace. But it's a music space for musicians, right?
Yeah, it's just, and back to what we were saying, mm-hmm. it's very important that producers and artists, writers, you got to know what you're doing. Don't let anybody make you feel like you're a headache. Don't feel like when you're the one, hey, we did this tune together, so what's the splits? Don't let somebody, don't worry about
don't
that.
Don't let them intimidate
you. Don't do that. No, I need to know the splits.
And it's always good to follow up with an email. Like, it was great jamming with you this evening. This is per our conversation or our jam session and blah, blah, blah. Right?
Make sure
follow up email.
You have to.
Paper trail.
Because then at the end of the day, you say 10 years and 20 years and I wrote hit songs and you don't have any money. And then they're trying to come to you. And it's like, and then psychologically it bothers you.
And even
like,
in business.
And you're bitter.
And in business, it's the same.
Yeah.
You talk about like the real estate industry or anything like that, or even finances, you got to make sure that, you know, you ask questions. And like you said, like, don't let anybody intimidate you. Like, that's how come when I sit down with people, I'm like, okay, is there anything else that you need to know? Or, you know, or if there's something that I you know, like, I'm like, oh man, I should have said this, you know, to make sure that they know, you know, you always reiterate information because you just want to make sure that people are set. And if they have questions, you know, you ask questions. Questions is where it's at. That's how you find out more info. So that way, like you said, 10 years down the line, you're not like, oh man, like I should have asked.
And see, when you said questions, that's why I want to clear this up in the music business or in entertainment period. Mm-hmm. What happens is you get labeled. If you're the person that's asking a lot of questions, they think you're the bad seed.
Hmm. Isn't that interesting? Inquisitive equals negative.
And the reason why they think you're the bad seed is because that power person, when he wants to make moves, even if it's crooked moves, everybody's cool with it. But you're going to be the one, no, wait a minute, why are we doing that? Right. And that slows his movement down. He's bullshitting.
Yeah. It shows, but that's slows his bullshit. That's
yeah. So don't know. Ask questions all the time that they stop dealing with you because you ask too many questions, and they most likely there was something shady going on.
Kind of like when you're dating. If you ask some questions and the guy gets mad, then you know you might catch him in some stuff.
How long we got? Because I have something I really want to say about
it. Go ahead and say it, because I think entrepreneurship and dating is something I wanted to bring up. So we've got about 20 minutes.
But the problem is this. They created this thing called TMI, like too much information.
Okay.
Well, that's BS. When I date now, I have a girlfriend, but I'm saying when I date now, mm-hmm. I'm asking questions on the first date.
Why not?
I'm not. And if you TMI, that's some little immature, you're hiding behind who you really are.
Right. Yeah.
I might ask something like, do you get along with your mom? Right. Because if you don't and you're not speaking or something, that might, I don't want to judge you, but that could tell me something. Yeah. Or I might say, what runs in your, is your family healthy? What runs in your family? I want to know who I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because 3 months down the line or 6 months down the line, we're dating, we have these issues, and I'm like, no one asked anything. We're so concentrated on the beauty.
Yeah.
Let's ask some deeper questions. Not what's your favorite food. I want to know your history, your family history. And even if you don't have that, that's okay. Sometimes it's hard for you to say your personal truth.
Yeah. And that doesn't have to come out on the first date, though.
Yeah, it doesn't have
As a woman, you want to keep a little mystery. But I think asking questions is right.
Yeah, I think you should ask questions. But I'm saying that's what I do.
And I've been with my husband for 23 years.
Damn.
So, for a long time.
You need a star on the Walk of Fame.
So, to me,
write a book, damn it.
You're on this.
Teach us.
Being young and you have those old school years, and you're young. And y'all have to, that's cool. Yeah,
you got your money game and your man game on point. Hallelujah.
I just think that people just need to get to know one another, be friends first.
Yeah.
Before you give up anything. You know what I mean? I think people just jump into situations really, really fast. They don't get to know each other and. Yes. You know, just talk. I think communication is key to everything, and you just got to talk, ask questions, find out who they are, you know, because if not, then you're going to end up in a whole
and
lot
let
of
them
trouble.
Thank you. Let them create their own opinion about you. That's okay. That just means that person, because you'll meet someone of the opposite, will be the same. Whoa, what runs in your family? So it just means that there's no such thing as TMI. Mm-mm. Yeah. You're hiding. Quit hiding.
I mean, I guess, but what if you... Okay, like
this is how I feel.
No, and that's valid.
Monique be fighting with us. I don't know.
No, because
are you TMI?
Well, I just think that, like, if I pour, you can make a guy run away if you pour it all out too much.
But guess what? It's okay, because that might be not the guy for you.
Listen, I already got guys saying I'm too much to handle already. For instance, you know, as an entrepreneur or startup or whatever, and producer, you get you're too much. You travel too much. You're too much to handle. And I'm like, well, shit, you're not enough. You know,
that's
an insecure person, though.
Right.
I mean, he's not secure in himself that, you know, that, hey, you know what? You got to go out for 2 weeks. You know what? Then that's just
you're
part
always
of the game.
Working. Well, you want a lazy bee or what? What do you want?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I know there's some middle ground, but when you're really reaching.
Right.
You know, I think it's important. I think it's just maybe we should make like a dating app for entrepreneurs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It could.
But there's an idea. Don't steal my stuff.
At the end of the day, though, it's really like we just said. You're worried about the information that you're exposing. The right guy won't even care about that.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you everything on the first date, though.
You don't have to tell me everything, but within the first week, this doesn't have to be the first date. I'm talking about within the first week. We're so infatuated and we love the beauty, but no one's asking the questions.
Yeah, you got to get the substance. I agree. Especially if you're going to have a kid, you need
to
know.
And then you have your first argument or disagreement. She's not talking for 2 days. You think she's tripping.
And you can see how she handles it.
You found out, you didn't tell me that. You went through some abuse when you were a kid. So when you feel pain, you go inner.
Right.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about that. No one, you were hiding because right. you were worried about me judging you. But knowing that I'm the right person, I'm not going to judge you like that.
Right.
And if it's the wrong person, they're not going to judge you. So it's really just being straightforward and standing. We rush too much.
I like that. Take a beat.
Rush too much.
That's right. Take a beat, but you have to be clear on your goals. Just like with your money, just like with your business, be clear on your relationship goals.
Exactly.
If you want to slide in a DM and hook up, that's great. So but just funny. Be honest about it. Yeah, and if you want to talk about a long term thing, ask questions and
that's
have us clear. Yeah, really, be clear on your goal.
We're on the same page.
I like that.
Yeah. I've had some crazy. I remember one time on this. Listen to this.
Tell us. Spill
listen to this story. I went on a date. When we got to the restaurant, she said, I'm going to tell you this.
Did she know you were an artist and everything already before?
She knew, yeah.
Okay.
My ex-boyfriend was this from the Dallas Cowboys. My next boyfriend before him was this from this group.
Oh, boy.
And I need my education paid for, and I need a 60-inch TV. Now, if you can't do that for me right now, then the date is over with.
What?
And I was like, yeah, I just kind of left.
You got up and you didn't say anything. You just bowled up.
I've never heard that before in my life.
That's insane.
I left $20 for a cab and I just left. You know what I mean? I did that on purpose. But I was like, yeah. And at least she was straightforward. I could say that.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, I'm used to this. I'm used to this.
Did the appetizers even come out?
Nothing.
At least get a glass of wine and an appetizer.
It was at Houston's and
Santa Monica.
And what is that? Century City.
Oh, okay. That's a nice plaza.
Crazy.
So straight up, hi, my name is Monique, and this is, I used to date this, and this is what
I'm
I need. If
this.
You don't like it, I got to go. I got another one.
That's basically what it was.
Wow.
And now, guess what? Believe it or not, there's some guys.
That like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that.
But at least my whole point is, at least she was clear.
Yeah.
At least she was
very,
clear.
Very,
no,
she was.
She for sure stated what she wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd that's you get crazy. Her? What dating site did you get her from? Was
nah,
that
it was, it
Grindr
was,
or?
No, nah, it was in my building. See, in my 20s, I was kind of
was that SugarDaddies.com? What was
I
it?
I was having fun in my 20s.
He was on SugarDaddies.com.
I went on a couple of dates. But the thing about it, when you get all that attention from doing music, you don't. The beautiful thing about doing music is, it's a power. You can be on stage and you can control 60,000 people, 100,000 people.
What does that feel like?
Wow!
By just playing something beautiful and like everybody shh.
Yeah.
Listen, and they're doing this. The power of that is something that if you never felt it, or if you never felt someone saying, yeah, this person's in the hospital, they got 3 months to live, they always wanted to meet you when you come meet her. I've been that person. I've had that happen to people, even though I'm not a superstar. Creepy. We were just tier two, but I've had that even recently happen.
Wow.
And you go meet them. So that's where I come from.
That's huge.
When you meet that me, I got huge. All that in me.
That's beautiful.
That's who awesome. You meet. So, like, my creativity is not supposed to be considered weird to you. It's just more this person is focused and he's really about it. Like, he cares about people. It
takes a special person to back that up and be in your corner and date you.
Right.
And especially with you. You're going to be dealing with high numbered, high commodities and hopefully some celebrities. And you know what I mean? And you have to have a strong partner if you want one. But this is interesting. What was your, like, craziest, like, has anyone done a tattoo of you or anything of the group?
No way.
I love tattoos. I love tattoos.
Guess
if you can't
happened.
Tell.
Yeah. This girl, when we were in Texas, this is the first
them
time.
Them Texans.
A mama see that.
Yeehaw.
It's the first time a mama see that it was over with. Mama see the guy. I was like, mama said, oh, wow. She said, oh, you know, could you sign my autograph? And I said, sure. Came over and she turned around and but it was my name on her.
That is
whatever
crazy.
The tramp stamp
Michael
is.
Angela. Yeah, the tramp stamp in the back.
Dang.
And this was a mamacita that was like, you would just. First of all.
I was in that music video, Mamacita, by the way. You keep saying
no,
it.
No, because.
Mamacita.
But this is the first
were
time.
You
where,
really?
Yeah.
You mean Laverton?
Mamacita. The
troop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what my dudes. So yeah, that's the
I'm
craziest
look that
thing.
One up too.
I can't find the video.
That's the craziest thing for me. And I mean, I got crazy.
It was
stories,
in anyway. It was in cursive with your name.
Yes, it was a real
with your
and
whole
I was like,
name
I didn't
with
know
Salisbury.
What to do. It was Michelangelo.
Okay, well that's could crazy. Be neutral.
Well, she could say neutral, but then she had some music notes. And,
that's great.
And she had portrait, and you know, like wow, I'm like why? And I'm thinking like I'm not no.
That's
on,
amazing
man.
That feeling.
But you're but what you do, whatever you do that touches people, it just touches people. It's like you know. there's a certain song in your culture that you might have grown up listening to, and when you hear it to this day, it make you feel the same way. Just like we hear something from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Or Baby Got Back. That's mine. That's my karaoke.
And it touches you. It touches me in a deep way.
Or Can't Touch This.
Can't Touch This. I love it.
So
real quick, give us all your social media. We loved having you here. And tell us, you know, where we can find you for in Europe. You know, you the group.
So my social media is The Real. It's T-H-E-R-E-A-L. Michelangelo 1. I know that's a lot. It's The Real Michelangelo 1. That's my Instagram. And then my Facebook page is just Michelangelo Salisbury. And we have a website, Portrait Music with a K, so PortraitMusik. I can't say the dates yet.
Okay.
I think it's like either Sweden or Switzerland or something like that. One of those places.
That's nice. Awesome.
And you can just find me. Yeah, when you type in Michelangelo Salisbury, yeah, you can find me some kind of way.
If somebody is has a film that needs some tracks, some music,
they can
you're available for that, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what that's see, in the 90s, when the MP3 came out and they killed us with our work, that was the only safe business for us. You had to be talented enough. You do music and you were producing people, you could switch over to film and TV. It's kind of hard, but
yeah,
they
great.
Still get their money. So that's what we're doing now, most of us.
Thank you for coming here. I am so fanned out. I need you to sign my tramp stamp.
Because
I love Portrait. Okay. You're amazing.
I hear it too much.
So, Fun Mama, where can everybody find you and get a consultation?
Well, first of all, the consultation is free.
Great.
Free.
Free 99.
Free, right? Yeah, free. And so I'm on TikTok. I'm also on IG. So you, Fun Mama at Instagram. And they can just DM me directly and we can just connect from there. Also on TikTok, hashtag Fun Mama. And TikTok at Fun Mama.
I love this. Yeah, you guys are a great synergy. Maybe you'll do a consultation for Michelangelo.
I got questions
because it's like the digital era is new money. It's a different way they do it. It's just digital.
Right.
So it's like I'm doing the same thing I did in the 90s, but now it's more in the digital way.
Beautiful.
Right. And so the money, if it's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to be.
Yeah, and especially those upcoming artists, those upcoming artists that are new, these really, kids that are making a lot of money on TikTok, you know, that they're branding themselves and great for them. But okay, what are they doing with that money? You know, these are young kids.
Buy property and put some people in it. Rent out the rooms. If you're out of town, rent out the rooms, right? You can't lose. Yeah, that's a simple piece of
investment. There's so many different things
investment.
That you can do. So many things that you can do. And definitely, we're here for you, for sure. I'm here for you.
I'm learning for some of my Latino people. Buy the property, and then you build whatever you want on it.
Yeah.
That's
something
I learned from
my
friends.
Well, they do that.
Yeah.
Get the property. That's
well,
cool.
The Church of Scientology does that.
Right.
The Church of Scientology has buildings everywhere. Nobody's in them.
Yeah.
They've got it
but
down right.
That means you can
and
do
they
whatever
can
you want
write off it because it's just religion. So.
True.
What about write-offs? Can you give us a speed round of good write-offs if you're in a freelance business business?
If you're an entrepreneur, there's so many things. I mean, hello, come on, Trump did it.
I have a lot of questions on that.
Yeah, you know, you have write-offs. You know your rent. You know, 20% of your rent can be written off. You know, as an entrepreneur, you know, you have your car, your mileage, your gas. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's so many things that you can write off as an entrepreneur. Just really, what field are you in, and what are the laws that you know in order to be, you know, an abiding entrepreneur, right?
You have to do it the right way.
The right way, peeps.
Yeah, you got to do it the right way.
Thank you for sharing everything, you guys, and being here.
Yeah,
oh, you are so welcome.
Really, really
thank
cool.
you so much for inviting.
You're going to come back again, right?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. And I just want to give a shout out to my my sponsors real quick. Michael Solberg Family Wines. And Lee over there is making a beautiful hybrid wine. Merlots and Cabs and Rosé and Chardonnay. And
port.
We got to get you a port.
Portugal, 20-year tiny port.
Who wants to send him a port? We're going to work on that for you, Michael.
Port.
Yeah, no, but Leah's got some great wines, especially for the holidays. If you want to look her up, it's michaelsolbergfamilywines.com. She's spending this whole harvest bottling the 2018s. So she's available. Mm-hmm. Also want to give a shout out to Nadira Healing Arts. She's up there in Oregon. If you want to talk to somebody and they can help you with, you know, some ideas and motivation, she's available at 503-812-7386. Excuse me, 7376. And thank you so much for tuning in. What will you start up today?
Yay.
Have a good one. Hey.
Bye. Thank you.
kind of mixed up.
Okay, so awesome.
Now you have your first press release. You can use the clip.
F-U-N. Irreverent, entertaining, cool.
Let's do a quick. Let's do a quick selfie, you guys.
Talk radio.
FUNDMAMA.